Hello, everyone, and welcome to the voice behind the show for actors who are heard but not seen. And as I mentioned on the Twitter earlier today, we're completely unplanned, continuing with our theme of talking with gorgeous and talented women on this show. It's a curse, I admit, but it's just kind of the way the scheduling works out. And I'm never one to question fate. But this week we're talking with Carrie Walgren. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
It's actually Kari. Kari like Ferrari is what I usually tell people.
Nice.
They get mispronounced a lot. It's a weird Swedish name. So if you can just think Kari like Ferrari, that'll help you pronounce it.
Well, it actually kind of makes a weird twisted form of sense because you've done a lot of anime and it's a very Japanese pronunciation of that.
It kind of is, and it's weird because I meet people at conventions and they'll say, oh, that's a totally Japanese name. I know someone in Japan with a name. And then you'll meet someone else and they're like, oh, I've met someone in Brazil with that name. And I don't know. I know it's a Swedish name, but yeah, apparently that name gets around.
So do the Swedes. So, you know, it makes sense.
Apparently so do the Swedes.
Yeah, they're seafaring people, so I'm sure, you know, there's a...
Bit of a
cross-contamination. Now, we'll talk about the anime in a bit because your Wikipedia, that seems to be a theme on the show, is that the Wikipedia articles on people are close but not quite. The Wikipedia says that your first voice acting role was for Fooly Cooly, but that's not actually the true.
No. Actually, as far as general voiceover jobs, that was not my first voiceover job. It was my first anime job. But I had done a number of radio commercials and one like radio drama before that. So yeah, I actually did my first professional voiceover job when I was 11 years old, and then did a few things in the years following that, and then eventually landed FLCL.
And you grew up in Kansas?
I did. I did. I grew up in a really tiny town called Hoisington in Kansas, and ended up going to the University of Kansas. And so I'm the ultimate cliche. Like, I'm literally the girl that moved from Kansas off the boat and was like, I'm here to be a star in Los Angeles. And I don't know if that happened, but it seems to be going okay.
Well, you did well your first go-round. I mean, you get the lead role in what would, I think, eventually be, I don't know how big it was before it was dubbed into English, but in essentially the lead role in FLCL as Haru, this is like the worst name to pronounce, Haruhuku, I'll let you do it.
Yeah, there's a great blooper reel of me trying to pronounce that on the DVD set, but I think it's Haruharu Haruko. And I'm sure that there are anime fans everywhere. No, you did not pronounce it on the right syllable. But I think that's her name.
Very good. Well,
Haruko.
So how did you get that? I mean, where pretty much your first role is a major role in kind of a tentpole series for anime around that time.
Yeah, well, it's really interesting because you were talking about what a big show it was before it was dubbed, and I remember there being a lot of buzz around the project when we were recording it into English, but I really didn't know much about the anime world in general. I mean, I had watched some anime in college. You know, I followed Dragon Ball Z. I liked Aeon Flux. But, you know, I wasn't really familiar with that much anime. And I went to the audition for the show, much like any other audition. You know, they had me read the script, they showed me a little clip in Japanese, and they said, well, listen, don't worry about the Japanese, just if you can kind of mimic her tone and her vibe in the audition, that would be great. And so after I got finished, they said, well, do you have any experience dubbing into English? And I said, well, no, but you know, I'm willing to learn. I'm a pretty fast learner, and they took a big chance on me and cast me in the part. And here we are.
Yeah, and that was kind of an odd series, even by anime standards.
You know, it's kind of nice to have started with that one and to have gone from there, because my point of reference of what's weird, quote unquote, anime you know, they set the bar really, really high on the first one. So anything after that was just like, meh, been there, done that.
And since you've done quite a bit of anime, you've done Lupin, you've done Wolves Rain, just going through some of the big ones. Steam Boy, a major feature anime.
Yes.
Let's see what else here. Helsing Ultimate, I should say. It's a completely separate series. And that's actually our first listener question. Oliver wanted to know, actually, he wanted you to know that he loved your singing Rip Van Winkle.
Oh, thanks.
And he does have a request, if you could sing a little Weber. I'm assuming that means something. I'm still behind on my Helsing, so.
A little Weber. Gosh, the Broadway geek in me is like, Andrew Lloyd Webber? But I'm wondering if he's wanting me to sing something from the show. I wish I could remember the words now, but there's a terrible little Nazi war tune that I couldn't get out of my head after we recorded that in that show, but I don't remember all the words. It's just like, something like that.
Well, maybe if someone sees you at a show, they can email you ahead of time. It's like, okay, I'm going to be here. I'd like this song at this tempo. You know, be very specific.
If you can send me German lyrics from the opera that we sang in Helsing, I'll totally do it.
And he also has another question. How long did Rip's Shakespearean death feel to you?
I tell you what, that was one of, and I no, that was the most intense death scene I've ever done in any project, because it just went on and on and on. I mean, I want to say it was maybe a 10, 15 minute death scene, and she just died horribly and painfully and slowly. And we just had the room all dark when we were recording it, and our director was on the other side of the glass, and we kind of finished that and we just sort of stumbled out of the room and went outside, and we're kind of blinking in the sunlight, and we're like, whoa, that was pretty intense.
So that was done in a group reading?
No, it was just me and him recording that death scene. And yeah, it was just emotionally really grueling.
Even though that you've now made a transition into more Western animation, you're still doing quite a bit of anime.
Yeah, I'm doing a little bit, not nearly as much as I used to, but I always love to have at least one or two anime projects going on, just, you know, partly because I've grown to love the genre so much, and partly because the fan base has just been so incredibly cool to me that I always want to be able to stay at least involved with the anime world. So we're doing some episodes of Naruto right now, some new episodes of Stitch, and one project that I'm really excited about is the new upcoming Tiger and Bunny show, which we're having a blast with. Tiger and Bunny.
Can you talk about that yet, or is that all you can say at risk of damage to yourself?
I can say a little bit. I mean, they've announced the cast at this point, and I know that they're doing a panel about the show at Anime Expo this year. So the show basically follows this group of superheroes that are part of a reality TV show, and there is shameless product placement throughout the show. And each of the superheroes has different sponsors that are usually forcing them to pimp out their products either on their costumes, or whenever they're fighting crime, you know, they'll sneak in little product placement here and there while they're rolling the footage. And it just basically follows these crime fighters as they fight crime around the city. And it's a funny show. It's got a great cast, And especially with all the reality TV that's on right now, it's actually really timely. So I'm excited about it. I'm excited. We're having a good time.
Now, which came first? You started with anime, and you're doing pretty much exclusively anime for a while. Which came first? Was it video games or moving to a more Western animation?
I started out with anime, and the video games kind of quickly followed. And then I started doing some Western animation, and I started out getting some guest spots here and there. And then my first lead was actually on Super Robot Monkey Team Hyperforce Go, say that 5 times fast. And it was interesting because it was sort of an anime style show, but it was an original Western cartoon. And it turned out that the creators were very influenced by anime. So it ended up being a very interesting kind of circular journey getting to the original animation. And now here we are.
What was there much of a mental transition at all from going from anime to American? And that's actually the question that Donald wanted to know as well. Listener Donald.
Oh, great. Well, that's a really good question. And as a lot of you guys know, the biggest difference between Western animation and anime is the style that you record it in. Because with anime, it's already been released. So you go into a studio by yourself and you sync each line up to the picture. With original animation, you go in and you record the voices first and then they animate. And because you do it that way, you oftentimes get to record with the cast members as well. With anime, you always record by yourself, but with a lot of original animation shows, you actually get to go in with the rest of the cast and kind of act it out and the other actors. So you know, it was different, but it was also I used to do a lot of professional theater, so it was also very much more like doing a play and being able to interact and feed off of the other characters. And so it was a little bit of a shift, but it was a fun shift.
And since then, you're still doing Western animation, but you're also doing a lot of video games. Your video game credits list is a little disgusting, if I have to be completely honest.
Thank you.
And one thing I love about doing the show, and I've talked about this many times, that you don't people don't always understand how often someone like you will work on something that they enjoy, and you never knew. You could be the biggest Kari Wahlgren fan and not realize that you're doing this. Like you did one of my favorite games of all time, Shadow Hearts Covenant.
Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah. I remember that one.
You do, because you're one of three people that remember that game at all. So that's helpful. And that was another kind of bizarre storyline. You know, not quite to the level of Fooly Cooly, but you know, it's still kind of out there. But you're also doing, you know, you've also done stuff like Rogue Galaxy, which is another game that I really enjoyed.
I'm glad.
You do a lot of, you know, role playing games and things like that. Is that just a function of that's where the work is, or do you seek out certain kind of games? Are you much of a gamer yourself?
First of all, I am a terrible, terrible gamer. I'm ashamed to say it, but most of the time, if people say, "Oh, did you end up seeing your work in such and such a game?" If I'm not a character that's like first level, I probably haven't seen myself, because I'm horrible. But I kind of just go where the work is. I mean, there are certain franchises that I would really like to do. And so every time the auditions for those come around, you know, I kind of keep my fingers crossed. I'm like, ooh, I hope this time I get to be in this game, blah, blah, blah. But most of the time, you know, you audition for whatever roles come through and you book what you book. And, you know, knock on wood, I've had a pretty good run with some of the role-playing games and some of the, you know, more character-driven parts, and that's been a lot of fun. I enjoy it.
I've gotten this question from some of our listeners in the past, and given kind of how broad your resume is it like how... I'm going to phrase this in probably the worst possible way, but that tends to be the way this goes. How dumb is it to try to just do just anime or just video games or just a certain kind of thing? Is it really as kind of career suicidal as it sounds?
It's actually a really good question, but the answer's is a bit existential, if you will, because it comes down to what's important for you as an artist. If you say, I absolutely refuse to do a radio commercial for Chick-fil-A, I absolutely refuse to do a TV voiceover for, you know, I don't know, McDonald's. Okay. That is your choice as an artist, but that one voiceover for McDonald's on TV will probably pay you more than 2 years worth of anime jobs, possibly. So from a financial making a living as an actor standpoint, I think that it behooves you to do as many different kinds of voiceover jobs as you can. But, you know, artistically, at the end of the day, if you're really passionate about just one kind of work, then power to you. Go for it.
Are you still doing commercials?
Yes, actually, when I can get them. Like any other kind of voiceover job, it's very, very competitive. So, I do VO for commercials and radio and internet advertisements whenever I get booked for them.
Are there commercial cliques? Like, I imagine that there's, you know, groups of people that are known a lot for anime, for example. I'm sure you're part of that group where, you know, when it comes time to casting, you know, directors are more looking at a short list of people to talk to about auditioning. Is it the same with commercials? Like, or is that more kind of free for all? You get what you get, or they can find. Basically, they'll work with anyone they can find.
Well, I mean, it's kind of like anything else. I think as time goes by, you form relationships with certain people. For example, with TV animation, the turnover and the casting process is very fast, so it's not uncommon for a TV animation casting director to say, this is a short list of people I think would be really good for this. I'll hear this handful of people. And I'm sure with commercials, it's the same way. You know, as you work more, people know your work and there you go. So it's a mixture. I think once you get into the game and people start knowing who you are, maybe you get on some short lists for certain castings. But there are always projects being cast that they say, we want a completely new voice, or we're not sure what we're looking for. And, you know, Joe Smith from Minneapolis sends in an audition and gets the job. So it works both ways.
And you mentioned that you started in radio, doing commercials, and you also did that the radio play. And you mentioned on your website, which you can find at kariwahlgren.net. It's important. The .net is important.
Or .com. They're actually both up to the same.
Excellent. Like a lot of voice actors, you have a little section on your website that says, you know, how do I get into it? How do I kind of succeed at voice acting? And a lot of the tips that you have are very good and kind of, you know, similar to a lot of others. But the one that I noticed is that you actually suggest working at a radio station.
I do. You know, there are a number of great voiceover actors that have come from a radio background. And there's a creative side and a technical side to voiceover acting. for instance, I mean, it's amazing to me, once in a while you get into a studio with someone who's a little green, and they'll hit their mic stand, or they'll turn their head away from the mic when they say something, and they don't realize that that affects how the recording sounds. So the engineers in the booth will have to say, okay, can you do that again and make sure that you stay on mic? Or can you do that again and not hit your mic stand because we're getting the sound from that? And so I think working at a radio station just kind of gives you a chance to experience the technical side of the business, and kind of hopefully gives you a chance to get in front of a microphone or hear what different people sound like in front of a microphone, and just kind of be in that situation.
All right, I'm an old radio guy too, so I'm anytime I can tell people to do it with radio, I'm down.
There you go. All right.
Now, again on the website on your FAQ, you talk about people ask you what's your favorite role, and you punt like most good actors do. They're like, oh, they're all great. So I'm going to twist it a little bit. Who has been your favorite actors to work with? And again, you've worked on a lot of different shows, and you've got what. You've been at this professionally for, what, about 10 years now?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So over that 10 years, who have been your favorite people to work with?
I'll tell you, two of my all-time favorites are Dee Bradley Baker and Tom Kenny. Those two guys, not only are they amazing, just mind-blowingly amazing at what they do, but they are two of the nicest, most humble, quality people that I've ever met. So it's almost like I want to be them when I grow up, just as people, not even as voice actors, but they're just really good people. So every time I get a chance to work with them is a treat. And I've worked with a lot of great people. I mean, John DiMaggio is amazing. I'm trying to think of a few other people right offhand. But yeah, Tom and Dee are just, I love those guys.
And
everything, every good thing that you hear about them is absolutely true. Absolutely true.
And I'm assuming you worked with Dee on Hulk versus Thor. Because he's kind of the big Hulk guy. Or was that one of the few he didn't do?
Actually, Fred Tatasciore.
Oh, that's right. Yes, I always confuse those two, and I don't know why.
And Fred Tatasciore actually is another one that I love very much. And he and I work right now on Kung Fu Panda Legends of Awesomeness for Nickelodeon. And
along with Mick Wingert, who we've had on the show.
Who is great. Oh, my gosh, you had Mick on the show. That's awesome. Yeah, so Fred's another great one. I'm so lucky. I'm really lucky. I think the list of good people that I've worked with is probably too long for the show.
All right, I'm gonna flip the question there. Any flat out jerks? No, I'm just kidding. You don't have to answer that if you don't want to.
You know, the nice thing, and maybe it makes for a boring interview, but the nice thing about the voiceover world is that you very rarely run into jerky people. I mean, 99% of the people in voiceovers are really great. And I would say that the 1% are usually not voiceover actors by trade.
Okay. I can read between the lines there.
Yeah. But voice actors in general are awesome.
Do you think that's a function of the fact that there isn't as much of an ego issue? Because as much as voice acting has kind of come up in sort of popular imagination in the last few years, there's still very few kind of bona fide stars of voice acting outside of, like, you know, a June Foray or, you know, some of the legends. But there are very few kind of household names. And do you think that kind of keeps the egos down, and that kind of makes people, kind of forces people to be easy to work with?
I do think, yeah, that's a big reason for it. I mean, you know, I don't want to paint the downside of, oh, you can be replaced on things or et cetera, et cetera. But there is a certain anonymity about the voiceover world. I mean, if you ran into June Foray or one of these big names in voiceover in the grocery store, you know, 8 out of 10 people, maybe 9 out of 10, wouldn't know who they are. You can go to some red carpet premiere for a cartoon that you've done, and then the next day go grocery shopping and nobody would know the difference. So there's kind of an anonymity about it, which I think most voice actors enjoy. They like having, you know, the work and the fan appreciation in small doses, and then they also like having, you know, they like being able to take their kids to school or do their own thing and not be bothered. So, yeah, there is a real lack of ego about the profession.
And kind of building on being able to do other things, a lot of voice actors will do other kinds of performing, and a lot of them do stage stuff. And you still do stage acting.
You know, I do a little bit. I had a nice little run with doing some on-camera commercials and TV guest spots, and that was nice because, you know, I'm not locked into any sort of on-camera conflicts or anything, so it was just a nice little way to supplement my career. And it is funny because people will see you do something on TV and then they're like, oh my gosh, you finally made it in Los Angeles. You finally got discovered. And it's hard to say, well, you know, I've actually been working in Hollywood for 10 years and I'm doing all right. But yeah, it's amazing what one on-camera commercial can do.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I've done this million-selling series, but you got that Starbucks commercial, so.
Exactly. Woohoo!
You must be living high on the hog now that you've had that one commercial.
Exactly. But you know, it's fun. It's a whole different kind of acting, and it's fun to shake it up, and I don't know. It's always been my goal to sort of be a working actor. So if I can do a lot of different things, that's really fun for me. It keeps it interesting. It keeps things fresh, and I enjoy it.
Well, good. Where can people see you? You got any conventions planned? I mean, you talked about coming to Anime Expo.
I'm in talks about Anime Expo, so I should hopefully know in the next couple of days if that's definitely happening or not. But I know I am going to be at Comic-Con this year. I'll be there Saturday, July 14th for Fish Hooks for the Disney Channel, and I want to say that the panel's at 3:30, but I'm not completely sure, so I'll be posting on Facebook and Twitter as soon as I've got all the details about our panel and signing.
Okay. Have you ever gone to Comic-Con as a civilian?
Not purely as a civilian, but I've been a few times for work, and I always make it a point to go shop as a civilian. Because it's basically all an excuse for me to go and get to stock up on comic books and Wonder Woman stuff. So, yeah, I may go there in a professional capacity, but it's all about shopping at the end of the day.
It does sound like a dangerous place. I've never been there, but it does sound dangerous for shopping reasons.
It's pretty dangerous. It's so much stimulation that your brain kind of explodes. It's a little much.
That's kind of why I haven't gone yet, because you know, I like my brain where it is.
You have to have your brain explode at least once. you should go at least once.
That's probably true, I guess. One last listener question. How many times have you gotten recognized for your part in Archer?
People never know about that unless it comes up on the resume or anything, but I have been amazed that once people find out, they get very excited. That has been one of those credits where people are like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you played Anka. And it was really fun. that particular character and recording session was a blast. It was a filthy, nasty, terrific blast.
Is that a show that you're also doing by yourself, or because that the cast of Archer seems like a lot of very fun people, and it just strikes me as that would be a fun room to be sitting in. Are you doing those as group reads, or are you doing it solo in a booth?
Well, I did my episode solo in a booth because at this point I've only done the one episode, so I didn't get to meet everyone, which was a real bummer. I would love to meet those guys sometime. They're hysterical. They're just hysterical. So, but yeah, I phone patched my lines in all by my lonesome.
Do you have the home studio, or do you just you rent space somewhere?
I have a little home studio that I use for auditions, but usually when you get cast, even if you're recording by yourself via phone patch, you'll go into a studio or you know, find an ISDN line somewhere.
Nice.
So,
some questions we have to ask everyone. Is there a particular role that you have not gotten yet that you would love to do?
I'm a big fan of Black Canary. There's a tiny part of me that would love to play Black Canary in something. Yeah. I don't know if that'll ever happen, but...
I'm not really sure either, but...
But secretly, yeah, I really dig that character a lot.
Well, all right. I think we have a producer or two listening to this show, so let's see if we can make that happen.
That's right. Okay.
Just sneak you into some other show. Doesn't even have to be like a show where that would make sense. Just be
exactly.
Yeah.
Put her in the background.
Yeah.
You're like, hey guys, sup?
Well, you're doing Stitch now. That you could throw someone in there, I'm sure. The camp Black Canary cameo on Stitch. You think that would work?
Yeah, totally.
Absolutely. Well, you're playing, I believe, a teacher on Stitch, right?
Let's have her just pop up on Naruto, like
there you
in
go.
One of the big scenes.
I like that. I like that idea.
Oh, she could throw her powers in. She could throw her hat in the ring there.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So people can find you on the website, which is again is kariwahlgren.net or .com, whichever one. You're also on Twitter.
I am. I'm a recent Twitter girl. So.
A recent
convert. Be patient with me. I'm at Kari Wahlgren on Twitter, and you can also find me on Facebook under Kari Wahlgren. And I love hearing from fans, and I definitely try to answer everybody if I can. So yeah, please drop a line. Keep in touch.
And I can testify she responds very quickly via Twitter. So
I try.
Yes.
I try.
Maybe I just lucked out, but.
Maybe you just wrote something really cool.
I highly doubt that. I'm very boring, so that's fine. But thank you for entertaining that thought. So
exactly.
So you're doing Comic-Con. You might be doing Anime Expo. Any other places where people can see you if they don't have the Twitter and Facebook?
You know, not probably in the next couple of months, but I know that I'm in talks with a few conventions for next year. So hopefully I'll be traveling around a little bit more next year on the convention circuit, and I will definitely keep fans posted about where I'll be.
And any big projects that we haven't talked about yet that are coming up and that you can talk about?
Big projects, yes, that I can talk about, no. Not yet.
One of these days I'm going to get one of you guys to crack.
It's not going to be me.
Well, fine.
But I'm really excited. As soon as I can.
Can you say, is it anime, Western, or video game?
I can't say.
You can't even say that?
I would tell you, but then I'd have to kill you.
So.
And then who would win the show?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But so everyone can expect to see Kari in the new Starbucks commercial. That's what I'm thinking it is. It's some sort of beverage commercial. I'm not really sure what. That's just kind of the vibe I was getting.
I'm gonna look at the beverage and give that like commercial smile.
Yes.
Speaking
of your smile,
right?
You've got this wide range of headshots and professional photos on your website, all very, very lovely, very nice. But the photo on your Wikipedia page is you sitting in an airplane chair.
Yes.
and you don't look very happy. I have to say, you look like you're faking it. Well,
here's the story behind that photo. I was on a plane, obviously, and I was flying somewhere, and the girl that I was sitting next to, it turned out that she was an anime fan. And I can't even remember how it came up in conversation, and so we got to chatting, and so she asked if she could take a picture of me, and so I think I had that look on my face like, okay, I guess, sure, cheese. And then suddenly the picture ended up on Wikipedia and like all these different websites, and who knew? And you know, you go through all this stuff of like putting the makeup on and doing your hair up for all the photos that you want to be up on sites, and no, it's the one from the airport. Ah, what are you going to do?
I've seen much worse pictures on Wikipedia, so.
But it was very flattering. I tell you what, it was very flattering, and she was incredibly sweet. So I guess, and she knows the internet.
She does.
So that photo is out there everywhere now.
Well, now, as a challenge to our listeners, we need to, now you're not going to have a whole lot of opportunities to do this unless we're going to try to stick to public appearances, but we want to try to find a slightly more uncomfortable picture of Kari for her Wikipedia page.
You're not going to have to look very hard. I mean, literally, I look like such a dork in so many pictures. I'm blushing over here. I'm blushing. This is why I do voiceover, so you guys can't see me blush. Yeah, there are some awkward pictures out there. I know that.
All right. Internet, let's make this happen. All right. Well, Kari, thank you for coming on the show.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you so much.
And again, the website is kariwahlgren.net or .com. Check out all the well-done pictures first. So you can see see what you have to work with. And then
exactly.
Just go out there. Again, we try to stick to public appearances, though.
Right.
I don't want to see like weird paparazzi photos. That's just wrong. Don't do that.
I think you've issued a good challenge.
Yes.
Like the most awkward photo that you can find is going to win some sort of prize. We'll figure one out.
Yes. Additional points if you get like a nose pick or something. Just something foul.
Right.
So there you go.
If you get me with my eyes closed or something really ridiculous looking. Yeah. All big right. Points.
Yes. So challenge has been, I guess, accepted. So you know, she seems pretty game for it, people. So I say go all out.
That's right. I've got swag, and I'm not afraid to give it out. So.
Excellent. Well, again, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thanks a lot.